Phil has always been suspicious of Shula's boyfriend, Simon Parker, editor of the Borchester Echo, and the latest edition hasn't improved matters.
Say what you like. The whole thing is a deliberate attack on me.
Oh, really,
Phil?
Won't
you read it, for heaven's sake?
I have. And I know it's a bit unfair to Farmer.
Unfair? It's riddled with ignorance and malice. You never saw rubbish like this in the Echo when Harmon's editor.
Are you going to suck that poor cow dry?
What? Oh, Jethro, for goodness sake.
Oh, sorry.
You should have bought that automatic cluster removal system we saw at the Royal.
Well, we haven't the money, though Simon Parker clearly thinks we're rolling in it.
Well, we didn't do so badly on the corn, despite all that rain.
Dear, you don't think Shula's behind this, do you?
Why should Shula write an article against farmers?
Because she's got a peculiar sense of humour, Jill. And Mr. Editor Parker's her boyfriend. And I'm obviously the farmer he's getting.
Phil, if Shula had written it, she'd have been giggling over it all weekend. She wouldn't have left it for you to find in the milking parlour on a Monday morning.
That's the last on him, Master Phil.
Thanks, Jethro.
Oh, come and have some breakfast, Phil.
You know, she was out till after midnight with him last night.
They went to a party. One of her friends from the office has got engaged.
When I asked where she was going, she said it was a toss-up between Bingo and the Band of Hope.
Well, you shouldn't provoke her.
Oh, come on.
Don't you dare stop tearing into Simon.
All right, all right.
What a lovely autumny day. Look what I've collected from the lower field.
Mushrooms, good. We can have them for breakfast.
With bacon, egg, sausages, fried bread and grilled tomato. I'm ravenous.
You never stop eating. I don't know where you put it all.
Neither does Simon. When we went midnight bathing, he said I was a slim naiad of the night.
Goodness.
He says I'm a fat cat.
Phil?
Well, look at it. Farmers are the fat cats of society. I still haven't worked out what he means.
Heavens, just look at the time.
Did you see this vicious article he wrote?
No. I mean, well, I glanced at it. I think he just wants to be lively and make things jump.
Yeah, he'll jump when he finds a cartload of slurry dumped outside his office.
Phil, really?
Can I have a word, Master Phil?
Oh, yes, Jethro, what is it?
Oh, you've been thinking about that edge you wants me to trim. Oh, you reckon we ought to relay it?
Well, there isn't time. There's still a lot of drilling to do.
Oh, you thought perhaps Fred...
He'll be looking after the cows while Mike's off. I know you hate the mechanical trimmer, but it's got to be done.
Trimming might be quicker, but it wouldn't do no good when the heifer starts breaking through.
Jethro...
More ace, less speed.
That's what they say.
Be quiet, Shula.
Look, Jethro, go and make a start on trimming and I'll come down later. If the hedge needs patching, we can look at it then.
Righto, Master Phil. Cheerio.
Bye, Jethro.
You say if I get started, you'll be down later.
That's right.
Right you be then.
Poor old Jethro. He really thinks the old-fashioned ways are best, even if they're not economic.
I don't suppose Simon Parker would call him a fat cat.
He certainly wouldn't call him a fast one. Can we go and have breakfast now?
Now, you've got your dinner money and Debbie's.
Yes, though I don't see why she can't carry her along.
Because big brothers look after little sisters, Adam. Now, remember I'm coming to meet you from school.
I know.
If I trail into Borchester and find you've merrily caught the bus home,
I won't forget. Bye, Mum.
Bye. Bye, Debbie.
Bye.
Oh, I don't know where they get the energy at this time on a Monday morning, Jennifer. I really don't.
You're lucky, Sid. Your Lucy's beautifully quiet compared to my two little horrors.
Yeah, and you'll soon have three little little darlings to look after.
Only a week to go. Quick, your Lucy's waving like mad.
Oh, yeah. Bye, Lucy. Yeah, bye. Bye.
Oh, didn't she look sweet, her little face pressed against the window?
Yeah, she's got this thing about saying goodbye. Mm? To you or me, Jennifer, it's a school bus into Borchester, but to her, it's a voyage into the unknown.
Oh, poor thing.
Ah, I think she enjoys it. She can make tears come into her eyes if she wants to.
Morning, Sid. Jennifer.
Oh, goodness, Jack. What on earth brings you out at this hour?
I've always been an early riser. The secret of being a good businessman.
Yeah, well, I like my bed too much. And perhaps that's why you own Grey Gables Country Club with a staff of thousands. And I struggle to run a pub without even a barmaid.
Oh, dear. Has Nora definitely left?
Yeah, looks like it. A notice ran out on Friday, and she hasn't been in touch with us since.
I have a lot of sympathy for her. You can't build a happy home when you're serving behind the bar of a pub every night.
Oh, what's she going to do for work?
I think she'll try and Borchester. Working in a shop, that sort of thing.
Oh.
She'll be lucky. And you'll be lucky, Sid, if you can get somebody honest and reliable to take her place. When I think of the trouble I've had with waitresses and bar staff.
Oh, yes, well, moustache. By the way, if somebody tries to run you over, it'll be Brian.
Eh?
He didn't like an article in last week's Echo.
But Parker's the editor. I'm not responsible.
Bye!
Parker. He won't let me interfere with running the paper, but I'm expected to take the rap when people turn nasty.
Yes, it's an hard, unfriendly world for the capitalist entrepreneur.
The what?
The man who rolls his sleeves up and gets on with things.
Oh.
I was wondering, Mr. Woolley, me and Polly have had a few replies to our ad for a new barmaid.
Uh-huh.
But neither of us have had much experience selecting staff. Could you...
Give them the once-over?
Well, look at the letters, at any rate.
Of course.
Yeah, you see, if we have them all out for interview, we'll have to pay their bus fares from Borchester, and that'll soon mount up.
That's the lot?
Yeah. You did say coffee, did you?
Thank you very much. Yeah. This one looks reasonable, Sid. Celia Cherrington, age 23. Huh. Nice handwriting, too.
Yeah. Celia's got a sort of refined ring to it, hasn't it? Not like Nora.
She doesn't say whether she belongs to a union.
Really matter, does it? Not in a small place like this. I mean, she could hardly call a mass meeting of herself.
She could infect my workers at Grey Gables. I've already been blackmailed into providing free coffee by Michelle Brown.
Heard about that. Here's the sugar.
She threatened me with union action, barefaced as she likes.
New Zealand background.
Oh, she'll come to a bad end one day. Still, you make sure you check on Miss Cherrington's background before you offer her the job.
Yeah. And what about the others?
These two left Grey Gables in the past year and neither of them were missed. These others are all inexperienced. It's hard to tell.
If only Polly hadn't interfered with the advert.
Eh?
Well, I'd written, please send photo on the bottom. But she crossed it off.
Oh, I should think so. It's a kind heart, strong arms and honest fingers you should be looking for. Not a pretty face.
I was only thinking of the customers. Oh, well, I'll ask Celia to come and have a chat.
How are you managing the meantime? Aunt Piggy, I suppose.
Well, we try not to bother her. Betty Tucker comes in for a couple of hours, and I've got a part-time barman from Borchester coming tonight.
Barman, eh? Very posh.
Oh, well, he is. Educated. Bow tie, everything. He works in the Feathers at lunchtime. He used to run a sweet shop.
Cheese and onion toasted, miss. Will that be all?
Yes, thanks.
Very well, then.
All these weeks, Simon, and he still calls me miss.
He's rather a strange chap.
Strange? Simon is weird.
They tell me he's a seeker after truth, Shula. He keeps writing letters to the editor about octopuses.
Do you print them?
No, there's not much enthusiasm for octopuses in the Borchester area.
Oh, I wish Jeremy would come back. He was my favourite.
Yes. He's still modelling beachwear in Polperro.
It must be getting a bit cold for that. Perhaps he'll show up again now summer's gone. You know, when I woke up this morning, the leaves were drifting down from the sycamore.
Not the autumn leaves, all gold and red.
You are insensitive, Simon. You can see I'm in a melancholy mood and all you do is make fun.
Sorry. Sorry.
You ought to be making a special effort to be nice after getting me into trouble with Dad.
Me?
That article about farmers.
I just thought a little controversy might stir up some still waters.
Well, Dad thinks you're getting at him. What's more, I'm looked on as a family traitor every time I speak to you.
Oh.
If Mum or Dad had the faintest suspicion that we were... Well...
Do you want another drink?
Please.
Oi!
Sir?
Can we have the same again, please?
I expect so.
Shula, I was wondering if you'd like to come over to Netherbourne with me tomorrow night. There's a meeting at the Residents Association.
No, thanks. It's a bit damp at night to be tramping round Netherbourne woods.
Oh, I didn't say anything about going...
Oh, Simon. That's where we always end up. Looking at the haunted cottage, checking on the strange happenings.
All right, if you don't fancy the idea.
It's not that. I just don't understand you being so keen on wet grass and insects when you've a perfectly good flat.
I spend all day working in an office filled with smoke from George's pipe and petrol fumes from the high street. Breathing fresh air is one of my few pleasures in life.
Well, you don't have to mix it up with one of the others. Anyway, it's the harvest supper at Ambridge tomorrow night.
Oh, yes, I've forgotten. The Archdruidess Laura Archer has been pestering me to come.
Oh, well, why not?
I don't know. I always think there's something savage and primitive about Ambridge.
Oh, Simon!
Bearing in mind my article in The Echo and the brutal nature of the peasantry, I'm not at all sure I'd escape in one piece.
You see how it is, Masterfield. I can't shove the trimmings on the fire without the tractor.
Well, how did you get a flat tyre, for heaven's sake, Jethro? There are no stones out here.
Oh, you reckon it could be the valve?
Well, turn it off and let's have a look.
Right, eh? I said we shouldn't have trimmed this head. It ought to have been relayed.
What on earth's that got to do with you getting a puncture?
Well, nothing. I was just saying, that's all, Master Phil.
Oh, it's just one thing after another.
Well, it's no use getting worked up. After all, it's only one tire that's flat. And that is only flat at the bottom.
I beg your... Oh, very funny.
Hello.
Oh, no.
We bought you some tea, Phil. And I've got your flask too, Jethro.
That's very good of you, Mrs. Archer.
I've put that Nature Conservancy report on agriculture in your office, Phil. Brian says he won't have time to read it before Christmas.
Well, I'm pretty busy myself, Jennifer.
Don't be ungrateful.
Well, it's very important. Do you realise that if all farms were totally modernised, 80% of the birds and nearly all the butterflies would disappear?
Really? Are you sure you ought to be out here in your condition, Jennifer?
Another week to go yet.
Still, you're a long way from a phone.
Oh, Phil.
I say, isn't this the hedge we looked at in the spring? You thought was one of the oldest in the village?
That's right.
My dad worked on this hedge many a time, setting it to rights. And his dad before him, I dare say.
The mechanical trimmer makes an awful mess, but I suppose it's just as good in the long run.
No, it ain't. You can't get a good bottom with one of them things.
Yes, well, time's money these days. Drink up, Jethro.
I hope you're not destroying the natural habitat for wildlife.
You hope what?
Well, good hedges provide main highways for wild animals to move about. You know that, don't you, Jethro?
I think we better get back, Jennifer.
Well, it does seem a shame. You know, farmers have to be responsible in this day and age, Phil.
Hmm.
You ought to read the article in last week's Echo.
You know what Jenny's like. Ecology, conservation, fossil fuels, yoga. She's full of vices that break out every so often.
Ah, maybe, Brian. But you shouldn't have set her under Phil. He can be very impatient.
He'll never throw a pregnant woman off his land. Not now he's a JP, Tom. Can you pass that shovel?
Ah, of course. Somewhat wrong with this grain, is there?
One of my blokes thought he saw a couple of grain beetles in it.
Oh, just a couple?
A pair of sawtooth beetles can multiply 200,000 times in 4 months.
Oh, blimey.
They're worse than rabbits. Now, let's see.
Ah, well, I'll leave you to it. I told Prue I'd call on Colonel Danby and find out how Laura's getting on.
Oh, yes. Jenny was saying she's to go into hospital for a few days.
Somewhat to do with that hand she burnt.
Mm. Well, you don't recover from second-degree burns in a couple of weeks. Particularly not when you're getting on a bit.
You'd best not let Laura hear you talk like that. Hey, do you know what she did on Saturday?
Played scrum half at Twickenham.
No, don't be daft. She dragged Doris round Borchester for 4 solid hours while she bought herself a new nightdress and slippers and washing bag and all that sort of thing.
What's she going to hospital for?
Oh, some sort of tests. They reckon she might have a skin graft on the back of her hand.
Oh, that doesn't sound very pleasant.
No.
Well, this seems clear, and it was from right at the back of the bin, under that damp patch.
Hey, what about that? There.
What?
No, see, look, no, just there.
Oh, it's all right. I can see the beggars. Well, thanks.
Is that what you're looking for?
I just don't understand it. I fumigated this place, shifted the old grain out. I just don't see what more I could have done.
Perhaps it's come in from the field.
There's hardly time for an outbreak in this year's crop. No, somehow it survived from last year. In a crevice or a sack or something.
Is it serious?
Serious? These little beggars will be breeding like mad and eating their way through 4,000 quid's worth of best milling wheat.
Just to let you know that all this week and next Sunday, the Archers will be broadcast in stereophonic and quadraphonic sound, as indeed this evening's edition was. Also on Sunday, the omnibus edition moves to a new time, 6:15 in the evening.